You're entering the MSP Zone, a podcast for the managed services community, covering news, analysis, and interviews from around the globe. Elevate your MSP game by staying in the MSP Zone. And now, your host, Charles Weaver.
Happy New Year, everybody. Welcome to 2023. I think it's going to be an awesome year, personally. Yeah, we got some issues financially, stock market, but, I'm not even be brought down by that stuff. That's going to sort itself out one way or the other. I'm feeling really good about the year 2023 and what MSPs are going to be doing this year, because I just think, and I've been a fairly optimistic guy about the managed services global market for a long, long time. Initially, right, some of you may say, well, duh. Early on, I didn't have that view. Early on, I'm talking like the early 2000s, I thought managed services might not survive. In fact, that was the prevailing thought by many people who were, some still around, but some people who back then were considered thought leaders. Thought, man, managed services, managed service providers, MSPs are going to be, they're going to be gone in a year or 6 months or whatever. They were wrong, obviously. But, after doing this for now 23 years, I feel as optimistic as I have ever been about the role of the MSP community, the role of the MSP itself. And, some of you may be saying, hey, Charles, brand new year. What are we going to be hearing from you in the MSP Zone this year? What's on the agenda? What's the theme going to be for this year? Well, the theme is going to be what does the MSP do this year compared to all other years? And it's very different, right? It's very different in 2023, what MSPs need to do to not just survive and remain competitive, but to not lose the ground that they have legitimately conquered over many, many years now. And part of that, and part of today's topic, is what to do with the issue of cyber being a almost useless term like cloud, right? It's so heavily used. It's used by everybody. It has so many different meanings. But I was reading an article in the Silicon UK Tech News, and the title was called "Cyber Attacks Set to Become Uninsurable." So I was thinking, wow, this is interesting. And those of you who've listened to this podcast know, we talk a lot about, have been talking a lot for a couple of years now about cyber insurance, the role of the MSP, the role, the proper responses and preparation for defending against cyber attacks and all that fun stuff. And here is a fairly mainstream article written in a mainstream tech magazine online. And they're talking about why cyber insurance, is not going to be able to prevent cyber attacks, meaning insure against them. And it got me thinking, well, if that's true, and I think that largely could be true, then where does that leave the MSP in 2023? If cyber attacks are uninsurable this year or soon thereafter, that's got to impact the MSP. And if it does, how will it impact the MSP? So that got the wheels turning. And I came up with kind of three areas that I wanted to talk about today. One is the flaw or the flaws that go into or exist in the underwriting process of the insurance profession at large. I'm making some generalizations because a lot of them, there are some good ones out there. We ourselves have a really good cyber program, cyber insurance program out there. But there's a lot of stuff out there, a lot of agents specifically, and there's some carriers who just really don't understand it. And it leads to, I would call, flaws in the underwriting process. That's number one. Number two, I'm going to talk about why there are flaws. And the reason for the flaws, in my opinion, are serious lack of visibility into cyber threats in general, and in specific, lack of visibility and understanding of the MSP profession. Both of those things combined are chiefly, in my opinion, again, the cause for the underwriting mistakes being made today. And that leads us to third. You know, if both of those things are true, and also like this article suggests, and I'll read a little bit of the article to prep things, what alternatives do we have as MSPs to deal with this? And, you know, that's what I'm going to go through today. I'm going to start, first of all, with this article. And I'm not going to read all of it. I'll include a link in the show notes. And the statement came from the CEO of Zurich. Zurich is a major insurance financial organization. Pretty sure they're based out of Switzerland or somewhere in Europe. And the CEO said, I'm trying to find the exact quote, but the lead, no, here's the quote. "What will become uninsurable is going to be cyber." This is the CEO speaking. "What if someone takes control of vital parts of our infrastructure and the consequences of that," right? So what he's talking about, and you can read the article for yourself, I'm not going to read the whole thing, is that it's talking about large-scale cyber attacks and why they are, you know, kind of moving along a parallel track as natural disasters, which, you know, commonly are referred to in contractual agreement documents as, you know, acts of God, or things that are outside of the insured arena of events that will be covered by an insurance claim or insurance policy, right? So if a meteor hits your house, that's likely going to be maybe an act of God. And so therefore that's not going to be insured, you know, compared to, let's say, if a tree hit it. And I don't want to get into, you know, a bunch of underwriting what ifs, but you get my point. And this is a CEO of a fairly major insurance organization saying this, all right? So that's the catalyst of this conversation, is this CEO of an insurance company saying cyber attacks, uninsurable. It's not looking good for that. Okay. Well, how did we get there? Well, cyber underwriting, when we started the insurance program at the MSP Alliance in 2008. We actually started working on it. Rob Scott and I started working on it in 2007. We launched it in March 31st of 2008. I remember it very well. There was nothing out there. There were cyber, quote unquote, policies, but they were really rudimentary. They were kind of like errors and omissions with a little bit of a cyber protection, but they weren't really good, and they didn't really cover things like third party threats, right? That was very much at that time an emerging concept, and so we were the first organization out there for MSPs. We were probably one of the first organizations out there, period, in 2008 to say, look, we want our own industry cyber policy written for the MSP specifically. And that's what we got. And so I learned a lot about the insurance industry, a lot more than I cared to. And what I learned from dealing with these different underwriters and agents is they did not share, and they still don't share, a lot of common knowledge that we have in the managed services sector about things such as IT security, data privacy, data security, best practices. These things, beyond the fundamentals and the obvious things, they don't know. I mean, they don't employ, the insurance industry don't employ a ton of cybersecurity professionals on staff. A few of them do, some of them do, but it's not like they have a lot of them on hand, and it's not like they have a lot of them that have both cybersecurity and have a knowledge, a working knowledge of managed service providers. And so those two things, and others as well, but those two things in particular, create a mentality by the underwriter. This is the person or the department who goes through and says, I'm looking at an MSP application for insurance, and I'm going to analyze it, and I have to approve it or deny it. And then I have to assign a risk value to this MSP so that we can appropriately set the premium, right? So we can understand and protect ourselves financially by having the right premium to match the right policy customer. Make sense? But if they don't understand the MSP and they don't have a fantastic working knowledge of cyber, specifically in general, IT, how are they ever going to do this, right? It is not like they are sitting on a mountain of data on cars, automobile sales, automobile driving patterns, accident reports, accident data, mortality data, hospitalization data, personal injury claims related to auto accidents. You get where I'm going. There's a wealth of information out there about the auto industry and driving in particular that allows companies to retrieve that data and say, oh, I have a 16-year-old who's looking to get insurance, and I have a 55-year-old who's looking to get insurance. And they have the data available to say, I am going to apply the data that we have and say, the person over here is going to be at this premium level because they have this amount of driver risk, and this driver over here is going to have a very different driver risk and therefore a different premium, right? That's how they go through the underwriting process. We don't have that in cyber today, and we don't have it for cyber and MSP, with some notable exceptions, including the MSP Alliance program. But that's where we are. For the rest of the world, that's where we're at. Serious underwriting mistakes taking place, asking the wrong questions, not even knowing which questions they should be asking in order to achieve and arrive at that point where they can have enough data to say, I know what this MSP risk is, and I know where to generally set the premium. We're not there. That's number one. Number two, why is that happening? It's happening because the underwriting professionals as part of these companies, including apparently companies like Zurich, are saying, we don't have access to this data, but we don't know what questions to ask. We don't know what we should be asking related to cyber. We don't know what questions we should be asking related to MSPs. Because if you've been living under a rock over the last 5 years, the MSPs are extraordinarily tightly integrated into the cyber risk equation. There is no way to extract, to remove the MSP from that equation. I don't think there ever will be. They're baked in there. They're hard-coded into that equation. And that's why adequate knowledge, effective knowledge, and understanding of the MSP market, of the cyber markets combined, is critically necessary for anyone who wants to tackle the cyber risk insurance dilemma. That's number two. Number three, if you're following me so far, right, and all of this makes sense to you, well, then that leaves us with, some of you might be saying, a a pretty gloomy outlook for 2023 and beyond. I disagree. I disagree for the following reasons. I'm happy to educate the cyber insurance profession. In fact, we do a lot of work today educating the cyber insurance profession, and we will continue to do that, okay? But until we get to a point where they understand and reach our level of knowledge and understanding and insight into the MSP and cyber sectors, we've got to, we can't wait for them to develop a solution. We have to come up with our own. I like to use the phrase, we have to participate in our own survival. That means no one else is going to do it for us. We've got to do it. We've got to act. Well, there already are emerging a lot of methods to react to the lack, the scarcity of effective, cost-effective, cost-feasible cyber insurance, both for customers and MSPs. When I say the cyber dilemma, the cyber risk, the cyber insurance premium, I don't just mean MSP. I do mean both MSPs and customers, because it doesn't get talked about a lot, but you know, this Zurich article, I'm pretty sure doesn't even go into and talk about service providers. It talks about a lot of other things, but it talks about chiefly, you know, general cyber risk. So as far as I'm concerned, this CEO of Zurich is not talking about MSPs. They're talking about non-MSP cyber, and they're saying it in that context, okay? So when we talk about cyber ignorance, cyber lack of understanding, and cyber lack of education in and around cyber risk assessing, we talk about both MSP and non-MSP equally. We have to come up with alternatives, and some of the alternatives that are emerging are, I'll just start listing a few. Self-insurance. We've started to look at self-insurance here. We're talking to some organizations about self-insurance. Now, these are, you know, they're a little bit complicated, so I'm not going to get into the weeds, but self-insurance is basically we create our own risk profile, we create our own underwriting, we create our own funding, and the community, the pool, draws from it, right? That's one way to do it. By the way, that idea I got from a non-MSP political person. Someone who was not in the MSP space, wasn't thinking about the MSP space, said for his organization, this person again is in the political realm, said, we may just get rid of our cyber insurance and we may just go and self-insure. And it got me thinking. If it's good enough for them, it should be good enough for us, for the MSPs, right? Yeah. I like that. Number two, right? Put aside self-insurance. What else could we be doing? Well, if you look at insurance, what does insurance do? Insurance is a financial bet to say, I will be made whole, or I will be compensated financially if a certain set of activities or events happens, right? If I destroy my car on the road, I will be compensated for that vehicle in that event. If I destroy the car myself and light it on fire intentionally, right? Obviously, that's arson. That's a whole different thing, right? But you have very clearly defined areas of behavior and what will trigger a compensation event from that insurance and those that won't. That's no different. And we can certainly start to peel back the onion, so to speak, and protect and act against all those elements that would go into the underwriting process. Well, what do I mean by that? Okay. If you're an MSP and you start to say to a customer who says, oh, this is the customer, you know, complaining to the MSP. I can't get cyber insurance protection. They won't give it to us because we can't demonstrate multi-factor authentication. We can't demonstrate that we back up our data and encrypt it. We can't demonstrate that we have a cyber policy that will take us through a ransomware or a cyber attack event. And the MSP could say very reasonably, well, customer, we can do all of those things for you. And while we can't compensate you and we won't act as an insurance policy for you, we can do the next best thing, which might even be better than that, which is to reasonably invest in your own IT and own cybersecurity in your organization. We can do it at a fraction of the cost that it would cost you to do it yourself. And we can dramatically lower your cyber risk and your surface attack profile so that while we can't guarantee that no one's going to want to attack you, what we can do is we can set up enough safeguards so that should you have a successful data or security incident in your organization, we will get you back up and running within a reasonable amount of time. And that your financial losses will be either nil or minimal. After all, isn't that what the business outcome is for a cyber policy, for any policy? It would be like putting a rubber shield, a force field around your car and saying, I'm going to drive my car. And if I don't have to worry about people dinging it with shopping carts and I have to worry about someone crashing into it and, you know, bending the frame or, you know, smashing the front or the rear spoilers, if you don't have to worry about that, why would you need car insurance? Well, that's the same argument that I'm making here. If you have all the elements that would make a successful security data incident in your company easy to survive, survivable, and not just survivable, but survivable with an element of minimal cost. I'm not even saying that you wouldn't have cost, because I think you might have some cost. But the point is, you're going to have cost with a cyber premium anyway. You're guaranteed to have that. And by the way, that's not going to come cheap. And for food for thought, some of you who are out there who don't use MFA, who don't back up your data, who don't encrypt your data, who don't have cyber policies and don't do disaster recovery planning and testing and all that fun stuff, have you thought about what the cost of doing all those things is compared to paying a cyber premium? Hint, one is going to be vastly cheaper than the other. Go figure out which one is cheaper. Huh? That's what I'm trying to say, folks. This is a solvable problem. Let's not get swept up in this notion that we can only exist if we have cyber insurance. I'm happy if there's a cyber insurance breakthrough and we suddenly get affordable cyber insurance, but we don't need cyber insurance to exist. Before 2008, organizations existed without cyber coverage just fine. Now, granted, there weren't the same level of threats and same number of attacks and same types of attacks. I get all that. But the world still rotated on its axis just fine before cyber ever was thought of. What we need to think about in 2023 is, if cyber really is uninsurable, what will you do in your MSP practice to not only help yourself, but help your customers make cyber threats less scary? I think that that would be a fantastic New Year's resolution. I think that would be a fantastic addition to your business plan. I think it would be a welcome message and discussion from your customers. And if we could end 2023 having solved that problem, well, not a bad year at all in my book.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, please give us a like. Make sure you are subscribed to the podcast so you will get notified when future episodes are released. We will see you next time in the MSP Zone.